I talked to Brother Frank Tompkins this morning. He's been going through it, not with COVID, but infection in one foot, now an infection in another. And as we talked on the phone, he just broke down and started to sob. He said, "Pastor, I miss church so much." So pray for him. Pray for Sister Marcourt. Brother Bear's here. He's in pain in his back. We've anointed him, and I believe God's going to raise him up. But what do people do without the church, without God? I'm so grateful to be a part of the church. If you'll turn to Job, the 23rd chapter. Job chapter 23, starting in verse number 3. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried." "When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Verse 3, "Oh, that I knew." "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." People come to church to find God and to get closer to God. And that's what we're doing here this morning. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word and on your people. You truly have been merciful to us and gracious to us. And now we're looking for your presence, your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Most people believe that the book of Job was the first book of the Bible. And here Job is not having a good year. Not a good year at all. I've taught hundreds of Bible studies in my home and other people's homes. This would be better. And the first scripture that I use in the Bible study is this scripture in Job 23 and 3. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." There's a lot of people who need to know where to find God, especially at this time of the year. A lot of us have had a difficult year. But if we can just find God in all of this, we'll be all right. Most of this world has no idea who God is or even where to look for God. Books are written, people have opinions and give you advice. But unless you know him, unless you've experienced God for yourself, you can't lead anybody to God. I have commentaries in my office. There's books upon books of people's opinions. But I realized many, many years ago that how can anybody comment on a God that they have not experienced, who haven't been filled with the precious Spirit of God? You can use conjecture and opinions, but you have to know him. Most Christianity doesn't even know who Jesus is and that there is no other God but him. In fact, 11 out of 12 disciples, even being with Jesus for 3.5 years, didn't know that he was the mighty God. Paul had to be knocked down off of his horse for his own good to get the attention of Paul before he knew, "Who art thou, Lord?" It's the question that everybody needs to ask. Who art thou, Lord? And how do I get to you? And so if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. First Corinthians 2, verse number 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, and even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." We don't know God because of information. We don't know God because of the wisdom of some men or the oratory that comes from pulpits. What did it say? God revealed himself by his Spirit. It seems like when we were filled with the Holy Ghost, it was an illumination. It was scriptures jumping off the page, showing us who he really is. When Peter got the revelation that Jesus was God in Matthew 16 and 16, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son," or the flesh, "of the living God." Jesus made it clear to Peter in verse 17, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you." You didn't get this because somebody gave you this information. It wasn't wisdom, but by my Father which is in heaven, or by the Spirit of God. It was revelation. Each and every one of us have had revelation because of the Spirit of God that lives within us. People don't find God through wisdom or great speeches. Paul didn't come to truth through much learning, but because of a demonstration of the Spirit of God. It's like Brother Portman said, it was the presence of God that touched him in the first service that he was in. It caused him to open up his mind and his understanding to more of God. There must be a demonstration of God's Spirit to reveal truth to us. Verse 8 said, even the princes of this world did not know God, for had they known him, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. God reveals himself to us when we want to seek after him. How many people walk by truth every day and don't recognize it? How many people walk by the evidence of God in their life and don't recognize it? How many people have walked through these doors and never met the author of salvation? How many people have spent hours putting up Christmas lights and never met the light of the world? How many people are going to celebrate Christ, but they don't even know who Christ really is? We truly are a privileged people. Turn to Ephesians 3, if you would. Ephesians 3 and verse number 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. How? By revelation. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by his Spirit. By the Spirit. And then 1 Peter, I go to this scripture a lot. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse number 12, verse number 11 says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, you're talking about the prophets of old, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Glory to God. So let's bring it home. I wonder how many times God has approached me before I was saved. I wonder how many doors were open, how many people subtly talked to me about God before I was even interested in God, before I knew him, before I was aware of his presence, as close as an arm length away and yet didn't know him, wasn't really interested in him. How many times did he continue to approach me before I even acknowledged him? Waiting patiently in line, just longing for me to want to know him. On his way to Calvary, after 3.5 years of approaching people in the flesh, after the Pharisees demanded that the disciples be rebuked for their praise and teaching, as he entered into Jerusalem, Jesus stopped and he beheld the city, and he wept over the city. When you're trying to introduce yourself to somebody over and over again, and they ignore you or don't want anything to do with you, my feeling would be, okay, that's fine. I'll leave them alone. But it isn't what Jesus did. He didn't do that for you. He didn't do that for me. Even though I ignored him, even though I wasn't interested in those things, he kept pursuing us. And so if you look at Luke chapter 19, Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, there was emotion, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not have, they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. How many times did he visit us? Each of us had times of visitation before we actually knew him. And in the middle of the night, in the middle of our trouble, when God wanted to help us, in the middle of our sickness, he was there all the time, just waiting for an opportunity or an invitation to come into our lives. Paul told the men at Athens who were worshiping an unknown God, he said in Acts 17 and 27, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might find or feel after him, though he be not far from every one of us. Just search for him. You'll find him. God is always hovering around us, ready to respond to our attention. God desperately wants to reveal himself to mankind. We know God like other people don't know God. And if we lose this feeling of wanting to share God with somebody else, then we've lost the real joy of Christmas. At the end of the 3.5 years of intense teaching of the disciples, there was a final exam, and there was only one question on the exam: who do men say that I am? The Bible tells us that if we don't know who he is, we won't be saved, because we won't be baptized in his precious name. Take a look at Colossians 1, 26. It says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. All these years, all of the prophets, all of the prototypes of Christ in the Bible, and yet they did not know who he was, but he manifests himself to his saints, that's us, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The greatest revelation, no greater truth in this earth. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. God, who sundry times or many times and in divers or various manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, or flesh, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus made the worlds. You could go to Colossians 1 and 14. He made everything that's visible or invisible, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. In other words, had all power in heaven and earth, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son, the flesh, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness in the scepter of thy kingdom. Verse 14 says, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Angels, can you imagine ministering to us? From the very beginning of man's existence, God has wanted to reveal himself, walk with man, talk with man, not in shadows, but just straight up front. At first, God was able to do that with Adam and Eve, walking visibly, speaking audibly to them. That was his intent for all of us, not in shadows, but face to face. And this was possible because they were without sin. But when sin came into the world, not only did Adam and Eve hide, but God hid from man. And man no longer had full access to God. Yet because of God's great love and his for his creation, he little by little once again started to reveal himself to mankind. God, who at sundry or many times and in divers or various manners spake to his people. You just can't stay away from somebody that you love, even if they've disappointed you. Your kids may disappoint you, but it won't be long before they're in your arms again, you see. First, God revealed himself through his word, giving us a complete analysis of who he is, what he's like, his character, his passion, what he loves and who he loves, a God of compassion, yet a God of judgment. He wants you to know what his character is all about. He wants you to know all of the little minute details of who he is, and we find that in his word, but that wasn't enough. Later, God revealed himself through his prophets, men like Moses and Jeremiah and David and Isaiah. And in their lives, they were a role, if you will, to give us an idea of the kind of God we were serving. It was Christ in the Old Testament in the form of the prophets. They played a role in life to give us a better insight of who God is. But there came a time when God himself took center stage and said, Feel me, touch me, hear my voice. To reveal himself in the flesh, knowing that he'd have to suffer in order to do that, yet it was worth it. Hebrews 1 and 2 said, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, or his revealed flesh. John 1 and 14 said, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Oh, happy days. Christmas, oh, happy days. So the God of glory wrapped himself in another package, a very unlikely package. See, that's the problem. We, in our minds, think if God's going to come to earth, let it be fanfare. Let it be trumpets and lights and all of that. And he came in a different package, you see. We're unwrapping the greatest gift to man. That's what we're doing this morning. We're saying, see, look. This is the greatest gift that man could possibly ever get. And they're looking for something else to satisfy them. Some other sparkle, some other light, some other pleasures. By the way, Jesus did not steal his identity from God because he is God. And most of the world doesn't know that. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Now, here is where we get confused. God didn't come in the likeness of God. God came in the likeness of man. He came in the form and likeness of man. He took on flesh and blood because it was the only sacrifice acceptable to God for the sins of the world. God also had to somewhat conceal his true identity before Calvary. Otherwise, the princes of this world would not have allowed him to go to Calvary. Yet even though God came in the form of man, that didn't make him any less of God, because all power in heaven and earth was in him. Too many people have missed Christmas because he came in the wrong wrappings according to their idea of God. All of those in the Old Testament, especially in the Gospels, they're looking for a different form of God, a Messiah that was going to take away all of the trouble. Sometimes we miss out on God because we think God should take care of all of our problems, and he didn't, and so we dismiss God. So when Jesus didn't perform the way they expected, they rejected him. I've had people say to me, why did God allow all of this tragedy in the world? Why does God allow this virus to come into the world? Well, God created us with a free will. He has given us the authority over things that we need to ask him to take care of. So when God doesn't perform the way we think, people won't open the package meant for them, the gift of life. When he does not line up the way we thought, like Naaman said, hey, I thought the man of God would come over and just pronounce me healed, take this leprosy over. But no, he asked me to do some things that just didn't make any sense. Dip 7 times in a muddy river. Why would I have to be baptized in Jesus' name? Why would I have to live a holy life? I don't understand it. Why can't I just shake the hand of a preacher? No, that's not the way God decided it was going to be. It's not Christmas, but Christ missed because of a misconception of who he is. Isaiah 53:2, speaking of Jesus, said, he hath no form nor comeliness. And the word comeliness means magnificent or ornament of splendor. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You see, he deliberately didn't pick the most incredible looking body, because then someone would be attracted to his physical appearance rather than his godly character. God's ultimate reveal to us was when he came in the flesh. It can't get any more plain. But we were not here to receive the benefits of seeing Jesus in the flesh. I know it would have been nice, but then I'd have to travel to where he was. And now I carry him with me wherever I go. Peter, 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now we see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This morning I can rejoice, not even seeing him, but he has totally revealed himself to us, and we can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Most of those who saw Jesus bodily didn't recognize him as God. But we have the benefit of the Holy Ghost, which has revealed God as no prophet ever saw him before, so close, so intimate, Christ in us, the hope of glory. What we are doing this morning is very carefully unwrapping the greatest Christmas gift. The knowledge of God. You want to give somebody the perfect gift? I give you Jesus. Years ago, I found a present stored with the Christmas decorations from the year before. Someone had wrapped it and paid the price for it, went shopping for it, but I never opened it. A present isn't worth much that hasn't been opened. That was the story of many of us. Probably went to Christmas pageants, had Christmas parties, decorated for Christmas, but never opened the gift. God wrapped himself in flesh, paid the price for the greatest gift that we could receive, yet it was years before I ever opened his gift to me. Knew all about it. Someone this morning needs to open the gift. It's the right size. It's the right color. And not like the toys that we'll buy for our kids that a week later will be sitting in a corner and broken. No, this gift will last forever. It is the right gift for everyone. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Would you stand with me? Years ago, we used to sing a song that simply said, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Some people are so careful not to offend anybody and their beliefs. But you know, Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you truth? The fact of the matter is, the people who approach me with truth annoyed me. And I felt like, I don't ever want to see you again. Here's the gift. And I was annoyed until I opened it myself and saw what God had prepared for me. Let this Christmas be different. I know we're socially distancing and it'll be different than any Christmas we can ever remember, but he's coming to your gathering. He will not social distance from you. In fact, he'll probably be closer to you this Christmas than ever before. The altar's open. Would you come?